Hello, and this is Tedrick, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist? And on tonight's episode, it's a special episode, and my good friend Stephen Chandler is here again from Australia. Hi, Steve.
G'day, g'day. How are we?
You love saying that.
Could they really go with the stereotype, right?
I don't think they say that anymore. Do they?
Well, I do.
So tonight's episode is a special one, and it is on the solo Spice Girls. And that means...
Hey!
And you know what, Steve? I don't even know if you know this, but you were the inspiration for this one.
Inspiration
comes in very strange places for me and times. You had posted a picture of the Jerry Hallowell Look At Me single, and it was just like a light bulb.
It was too many years ago now. Makes me feel very old. It's okay.
But that was my inspiration, and then I think I just messaged you and I said, hey, you want to do this? And you know, you are always very cool with everything, so I'm happy to do this. And it could be called Sugar and Spice and Everything Nice, I guess, or I don't know, Solo Spice and Everything Nice. We'll see.
So, catchy.
But before we do that, I just want to say to the playlisters out there listening, Risa is obviously away this week. She's actually burying her mother, who passed away in January, and all you listeners know that she did that, or her mother died. So she's burying her this weekend, so I gave her the week off, and now I have Steve again for the third, fourth time?
Technically third.
Yep. Australia. Yeah.
Well, the Australian one was too long for words, so who knows how many parts that gets divided up into.
Yeah, the second part is still being edited, but anyway. thoughts and prayers go out to Risa, and so hopefully she'll be back. For me, I'm actually leaving for Texas on Tuesday for a month, and I will be working at the Alaska Airlines in Austin, Texas. So I'm looking forward to that. I've never been there. I hear it's the San Francisco of Texas, and there's a big music scene there. South by Southwest happens there. And we'll be there for a month, and I'm excited about that. So what's been going on in your life, Steve?
I am just recovering from a head cold. My voice is a little bit husky and sexy today, so... That's all right. No, nothing exciting happening here. Just the same old, same old. Work, 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 work.
Work. Oh, God, I hate that song. Anyway. All right. So why don't we just get into it? For those of you who, you know, don't know who they are, Spice Girls came out in 1996, and they had a single called Wannabe. And it hit number one in 37 countries. I mean, I didn't even know those 37 countries that had music. So, you know, so it was followed by their album Spice, which sold 23 million copies and made them the best-selling album by a female group in history. And then Spice World was after that, selling 14 million copies. And they were just the biggest thing since sliced bread. And
followed by the movie. Oh, at the same time as the movie, let's not forget.
The movie?
Spice World, the movie.
Yes. I actually was at the premiere at Grumman's Chinese Theater here, and they walked by me, and Jerry touched my hand, and I was like, hey!
I would have died on the spot. It would have been all over.
I saw the movie in the theaters 7 times the first 7 days, okay?
That's amazing.
And if we're going to fanboy out on them right now about the movie, I have the VHS. Okay, let's cook on that for a second. VHS, DVD, 5-year DVD, 10-year DVD, and I think the 15-year DVD or 20-year DVD. I have 4 of them, and there's really not any bonus stuff, but like the covers are different.
No, it's slightly different cover.
Yeah. I love that movie. I really did love that movie. I thought it was great.
It was very much there. It was very fun. It was just fun and music and that was it, really.
I laughed because Victoria got all the good one-liners, all of them. And the fact that, like, Jerry was supposed to be this super smart, blah, blah, blah. And every time she would say something, she's like, oh, I read it in a book. And then they would flash to Mel C, like, rolling her eyes, like, really? Because at the time, Jerry was looked at as kind of like the bimbo of the group.
No, it all bimbo.
I love the Spice Girls. So at the end of, or somewhere around 98, like May of 98, Jerry actually left the group in the middle of a tour. And I don't know how you got it in Australia, Steve, but like here, I remember getting ready for work and they said, a Spice Girl goes AWOL. And they showed a picture and it was like, if you can't dance. And I was like trying to figure out which one it was. And I was like, oh no, it's Jerry. That's exactly how I figured it out. And never came back.
Yeah, it was worldwide like bulletin news, like right up against current events of the day and stuff like that. It was huge news everywhere. Like, yeah. I was a little bit heartbroken because Jerry's my favorite. So I was like, oh, no.
What's your favorite? What?
Jerry. Awesome. Geraldine. I literally had a heart attack.
You know, she was my favorite until the Brits Who Do You Think You Are performance. And like I said, sometimes my favorite things change, switch, and go around crazy. But when Mel C did that last bit and she was by herself on the stage and she did that little jump and then she did this like skip to the back to the rest of them, she was my favorite from then on. I could not tell you what it was, but it was just like, I just loved her energy.
An A for enthusiasm for Mel C. Yeah.
They, you know, went on to do Forever, and then there was a hiatus until 2007 when they toured The Return of the Spice Girls, which I saw, and it was amazing. And then they did the Spice World tour in 2019, sans Victoria.
Which I saw twice and was amazing.
Oh, you did go see Spice World?
Yeah. That's where the shirt's from.
Oh, I thought somebody bought it for you. Oh, yeah, that's right. You did go because I was thinking about meeting you there.
Yes, you were. Don't you remember this? I went twice. I only had one ticket when I went to the UK originally. And I was not planning on going at all because I'd been to see Steps previously. And I was like, oh, well, look, if I'll get online and see what happens. I'll see what happens. I had like five browsers open on the laptop. Five browsers open on the phone. I'm like, oh, this is not going to happen. And I just kept refreshing. It got to like 20 minutes past the hour. I'm like, it's over. Like, there's no way. Get to the last browser on the computer. So it was the first one. It says, congratulations, you're going to the Spice Girls. I cried.
Aww.
I was like, what? Cool. And that was originally going to be the first night of the tour as well. Until they added new dates. As the Spice Girls are wont to do, because they have never been to Australia. Because Return of the Spice Girls, they mentioned Australia as one of the date. And I was like, it's happening. We're going. It's like we're doing it. It's happening. And then never happened. Oh, so I made a promise to myself, if they ever toured again, I would go. And I have been. I can now say that I've seen them twice. Once at Wembley with Jerry.
I've seen them a total of, let's see, I saw them once in 98 when they came to the States in LA without Jerry. And then I saw them three times on the Return to Spice Girls tour. So I've seen them four times. Return to the Spice Girls tour was so amazing because it was sort of like this weird shaped, you know, stage where there was a circle and then there was this little walkway. And we were right in front of the walkway. And when we got there, it was sort of like, oh, this sucks. They're never going to come out here. Oh my God. During Holler, they were right there. And I was like, oh my God, there they are.
Walking boys on leashes, weren't they, for Holler?
Yes, they were. And I thought to myself how they were going to address Jerry not being there or if she was going to do it with them. It would have been so cool had she done it with them then.
Look, that's all I was hoping for.
You know what? I have a friend who was actually kind of in the know with the current Spice Girls tour, and they said that she was going to sing Victoria's part, which would have been amazing. But she didn't. And they skipped it, which is weird.
They did a remix, of Holla for the tour. It was like a remix, like marchy thing, and she was like, they didn't do it, so she kind of sang it, but she didn't really sing it, I guess.
But Emma's like, start from the bottom and work your up slowly. And like, that's when Victoria would have gone, we can go on and on doing things you thought you would never do. But Emma just went right into, like, I want to make you holler. Like, they skipped the whole Victoria line. Oh, damn, Jerry could have saved the day by singing that. Could you imagine her singing that part? Doing things you thought you would never do.
I don't know that she would have the range for that high part, but she could probably do the rest of it. Maybe Emma would have to just overlap, but... It was very interesting to see the vocal breakdown of stuff without Victoria as well, because Jerry actually got to sing Goodbye, and that was super dramatic, especially at Wembley. It was just like, oh wow, okay. And that was the night she officially apologized for leaving on stage. Oh, nice. Yeah, so I was like, what? This is crazy.
Did you have decent seats?
I actually did. You know what? I sat on the sides, but I was close enough to the front, so I got like a fairly front-on view. And then my tickets for Wembley were on the opposite side, so I saw both sides of the stage.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I wasn't front-on, but there were so many people. It was ridiculous. So many people.
I was gutted that I didn't get to go. You know, 2019, I didn't get to go to any of my shows because, you know, I moved to Palm Springs and was making half of what I made. And the Spice Girls concert, it was one of those situations where it was like, okay, go to the concert or eat and have gas in your car. I mean, it was literally like that. So I missed Spice Girls. I missed Take That for the first time. And I had tickets, missed Kylie twice. It was not a good year for me in shows. That's cool. So
onwards and upwards.
You into what?
I said onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards, yeah. So getting back to the Spice Girls, so they all went off and did solo things around like 99. I think by that time they'd all done something except for Victoria. And yes, I mean, some of it's really good and some of it's kind of dodgy. But tonight, Steve and I are going to talk about our favorite solo Spice singles, and we're going to do our favorites, and then we're going to do what I call a no, 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 no from Dubai, our least favorite. So we're going to get our stuff together, and we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about solo Spice Girls. So stay tuned. Hey, listeners, we are back here, Steve and I, and we are talking about our favorite solo Spice Girls songs, and we're going to go ahead and start that off with arguably the most popular one, maybe not for her singing prowess, but maybe it's for who she's married to, and he's so hot. So we're going to start off, we're going to talk about Victoria Beckham. Oh, Vicky.
Vicky B.
So here's the thing with Victoria. First of all, she's the only one that never had a number one, which is kind of sad. You know, her True Steppers, Out of Your Mind song with Dane Bowers got to number two. And
she just had horrible luck. Let's be honest with her. She had horrible luck. Out of Your Mind was number two, but it was never going to be number one because the number one she was going up against was Groove Jet, If This Ain't Love by Spiller featuring Sophie Ellis Bextor. So that was never going to happen.
That was a great song.
I loved Out of Your Mind. I was like, oh, okay. And she showed she could dance like a fool. Like I watched a couple of performances the other night and She was serving some choreography. You forget that she was a dancer. Like, she was serving that early 2000s choreography like no one's business. So much white leather-ish going on as well.
And, you know, people kind of, like, they just count her in the group. But if you think about it, she, especially when Jerry left, she really stepped up. And she was in a lot of the songs on the third album, you know. And, you know, she can sing all right. You know,
I think the thing is with Victoria is she's got the kind of voice that did a lot of harmony work in the productions, not necessarily a lot of, so she's like, for example, Kimberly Walsh from Girls Aloud. Like Kim did a lot of the high and low harmonies because she had that range to do so. But when it came time for solos, it was hit and miss. Same with Victoria. And that's just down to the sound of her voice. It doesn't always suit. Like, the others were very distinctive voices and hers wasn't as distinctive.
Yeah. So my favorite, and you know what? I kind of feel like, and this is just my opinion, I kind of feel like Victoria and Emma had the best solo song. That's just me, because they're just so much fun, you know? And my favorite Victoria song is Let Your Head Go from 2003.
And the drama around Let Your Head Go. That's the thing about poor Victoria, though. Every time she released something, there was some kind of drama. It's like something went wrong, or like there was massive competition, for example, with her debut single, Not Such an Innocent Girl, which was September 2001, there was a little song out there at the same time that was blocking her all the way. And it was, yes, a fight for the finish.
I can't remember who it was. Who was it?
I don't know. I can't sing. La, la, la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Not ringing a bell.
Yeah, no, it's not catchy at all, is it?
Yeah, I remember that, the Kylie Victoria Beckham thing.
Twice in a row is just so, like, such bad timing. Like,
yeah, but not such an innocent girl. It got to number six, so there were still five songs that beat her. You know,
true. You can't help but think maybe if she pulled back a couple of weeks, the outcome might have been different, but whatever.
And they always think that they can go up against people. It's like, no one's going to beat Kylie. I can't remember anyone that went up against Kylie that she didn't beat, you know, like Little Mix. Little Mix called her ancient. It's like, uh-huh, and where are you guys? Oh, yeah. One less person and two of you are pregnant. Yeah.
But they did. They are the first female group to win a Brit Award, so things are changing.
I saw that.
Enjoy Little Mix. I will not have them slandered.
You know what? They were one that I mean, they weren't in the upper echelon by any means, but I did love Black Magic. I really liked Black Magic a lot. So there you go. But anyway, so back to Victoria. I believe that when she did the double A side of Let Your Head Go and This Groove, which takes from the Systems, Don't Disturb This Groove. I think her record.
I love This Groove. Is amazing. Oh.
Yeah, it is. Keep your eyes on me. I mean, it's just like, yeah, it was just hot.
It's nasty baby making music, that one.
It was hot. And you know, and it was her highest chart position on her own. It was number three. But I believe the record company went bankrupt when the single came out, because it was supposed to be on a second album, and which never surfaced.
Well, this is, the drama behind her second album is super interesting, because herself, Emma and Mel B were dropped from Virgin. So they parted ways with Virgin earlier on in their careers. And then Victoria signed to Telstar Records and 19 Management with Simon Fuller. Dun, dun, dun. Which, you know,
They left him, didn't they?
Well, the 19 managers was owned by Simon Fuller, that's right.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, she was recording, she actually started out recording an electropop album called Open Your Eyes, which is what Let Your Head Go is from. So she completed the whole album, and then when it was sitting there together, she's like, I don't love it. So she had apparently £1.5 million. So she went and recorded a completely different album with David Dash called Come Together, which was R&B flavored, flavored music. So apparently there was a big, big, big drama between what her direction would be, between David Dash and Simon Fuller. They couldn't agree, and so that's why there was the double A side.
Okay.
Yeah. But then in 2004, Telstar went bankrupt, so it never got there. It never went any further, sadly. Both of those albums, or what the songs that would have made up those albums, have leaked. I've had them for a long time. I don't know if you've had. And I think it's a real shame that she never got to release some of that music, because it was interesting. Like, it was a very different turn for her. I thought that she'd found her lane with Annie Mind. I thought, oh, she'll be the dance, like, she'll make dance music, she'll make club music. But then you listen to It's That Simple. I don't know if you heard that one.
Yeah.
And yeah, Full Stop and like stuff like that. This groove, you're like, wow, this is actually really interesting. She was almost trying to go for that British J-Lo vibe. So it was kind of like R&B, hip-hop light mixed with pop, which I think could have worked, but I don't know if it corresponded with the Victoria Beckham brand at the time, which was still an offshoot of Posh Spice. They couldn't let go of the Posh Spice thing. And well, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, the cool thing about Let Your Head Go was, like, it was the first Spice Girl single to go into the top three since Jerry's It's Raining Men. So, I mean, that's a feat in amongst itself. And I love, she did like a couple of Top of the Pops performances, and she just, it was really hot. It was really, really hot. So.
And she looked like she was having fun. I watched some of those again. Like, so much of Victoria's image is this stoic, you know, stoic fashion face. And she actually looked like she enjoyed what she was doing. But because of all of the backlash from, you know, I guess being Victoria Beckham and being constantly in the press and da-da-da-da-da, you're the one that can't sing was the one that was always leveled at her. She doesn't. Do you know what I mean? That they kind of took that away from her, which I find really sad. For someone that had a dream to be a singer and did it hugely successfully well, like, all of this drama basically nicks her career. I mean, like, you hear stories from the Return of the Spice Girls about how hard it was to get her to do anything that wasn't encapsulated by the group. They all did solo stuff, and she just walked up and down the runway, right?
Oh, that was so awful. She could have lip-synced this groom or something, you know? I mean, on the Christmas and Spice World tour, didn't they? She sang Not Such an Innocent Girl, I think.
I'm talking like these modern days. That early, so all that criticism in the 2000s, early 2000s, really just took any confidence or any love. I don't doubt that she still loves it, but any confidence that she had in her own ability away from her, and now she just won't sing. Yeah. So I don't know if we'll ever get a five-piece Spice Girls anything ever again.
Well, I've read in the papers or online that if they do Glastonbury, she wants to do it. Now, my take on it is I wouldn't let her do it, because it's like you can't just pick and choose when you can come. It's like we needed you on this last tour. And I just don't think she should be able to do it. just because it's Glastonbury and it's, you know, high profile, it's like, you're out of the group now. So,
well, anyway. I think she still made like 16.5 million off that last tour and never stepped on stage.
Must be nice.
Must be lovely, right?
Well, why don't
No, you go ahead.
So I was just going to say, why don't we jump from Victoria to Mel B?
Well, you got to pick your what's your least favorite Victoria song?
Oh, I forgot about that. So, I mean, my least favorite Victoria song, if I go for the singles, I mean, I have to say it's Not Such an Innocent Girl.
Oh, okay.
Because I love A Mind of Its Own. I loved This Groove, Let Your Head Go, Out of Your Mind. Not Such an Innocent Girl, it's sort of like, it's almost like cliche. It was so Spice Girls, but like pop Britney sounding. I love the song, but if I had to choose out of the singles, that would be my least favorite. What about you?
I'd probably get rid of A Mind of Its Own.
Get
that. Yeah, I don't know that it did it for me. Although I watched a live performance she did, like a live performance she did of IOU.
Okay.
And it wasn't bad, but I'm like, oh, why would you think to perform that song? But I think that they were trying to prove that she could sing back in the day. I just think with Victoria, there's just a lot of badly timed opportunities and a lot of just bad luck, which is sad because I think had she released more music, she would have a better reputation as a singer. But yeah, look, I enjoy, there's something to enjoy. There's obviously I think she's out of her depth on ballads. But she's made some great music, some of which people won't hear, which is sad. But if you want to hear it, it's out there.
Right.
Come Together and, yeah.
I think the funniest thing when I talk to somebody about Spice Girls or solo Spice, like some people like don't know that they've actually done solo stuff. And, you know, I have made many a CD for people that didn't know that they did solo stuff. But like when I do the covers, like, you know, I'll make my own covers of the, you know, the CD. And I went online and I grabbed all their greatest hits covers. And like, I'll tell people, I'm like, Victoria Beckham's got a greatest hits album. They're like, what? I said, greatest hits album. They're like, really? And I'll like show them the cover and they're like, that's so weird. I was like, well, she has all this music, you know? You got to have enough music to put on a greatest hits album. It's like 20 songs. So anyway, so let's go ahead and move along and let's do Mel B. Melanie
Brown. To the ELB, you know me.
So what was your favorite Mel B song?
I thought I Want You Back was one of the most amazing things that blew my tiny little mind when it was released. Because I was just starting to get into Aaliyah and stuff like that. I was like, oh my God, the Spice Girls can do stuff that isn't pop. And it was a big move back then for her to do like a completely different style. The whole green, like the neon green thing. I was like, ah, this is amazing. Like she came out with an intention to be different. Like, she wasn't changing the Spice formula just to suit her. It was like, well, this is the kind of music I like, so this is what it's going to be. And yeah, I loved, 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 loved that song.
You know, it took me a long time to like that song. I don't know what it was. I don't know. It was just, she was kind of my least favorite of the five of them, and I just kind of, I don't know, I wasn't really excited about it, to be honest with you, but listening to it in recent times, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's a jam. You're like, Like, for her to pull Missy Elliott out as well, it's like, that was before Missy would feature for everyone and their dog.
Yeah.
And Missy was prolific back in the day, and she's like, she's doing it with a Spice Girl? Question mark? Like, yeah, no. I was just like, no, this is slick.
Yep.
Very, very slick.
And she got a number one hit out of it. So, I mean, she was the first one to fly the coop, you know, to do that, which I was surprised about. So my favorite is the second single from her album, Hot, and it's called Feel So Good. Now,
interesting choice. I like it. Go with it.
Feel So Good is just one of those, it's a feel-good song, to sound cliche. You know, it was coming off the heels of Tell Me, which was one of those, okay, my boyfriend cheated, blah, blah, that whole, like, empowerment.
Let's call it what it is, Kendrick. Let's call it what it is. It's a fuck you anthem.
I didn't want to say that. I was trying to...
Well, I'm going to say it. That's what it is. It is the biggest middle finger to your ex-husband. It was a bop, too. I was like, yeah, that's... Imagine being on TV going, you know what? This is what you get. That's amazing. And she was looking super hot. I think she just had the girls done again. So those boobs were huge. Like,
that was after a baby too. Her and Victoria, yeah, like, bounced back really quick after those kids.
Wouldn't you if you had that much money?
Well, and it was cool that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis produced the record. You know, I mean, who doesn't want Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis to produce your record, you know? It got number 5 in the UK, and it sold 142,000 copies. And it was just, I just liked it. I just thought it was a really fun song. And, what's your no song?
Okay, let me think. Well... Wait, I have to ask, did you ever hear her second album?
I did hear her second album, yes.
What was your thoughts on LA State of Mind?
I didn't.
Because it's completely different to,
I just didn't, to
everything that came before.
It didn't wow me. It didn't wow me at all. I mean, I liked the For Once in My Life. Is that was a single?
No, this is before this, so... LA State of Mind was 2005.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is after she got dropped from Virgin. It was released by a tiny, tiny, tiny label called Amber Cafe.
Okay.
Never heard of it. I only had one single that was released off it, which was called Today. I don't think it even charted, to be honest. This is when she was doing a lot of acting, and she obviously moved to LA and was probably dating Eddie Murphy at the time, and she was doing Rent and da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, she created Amber Cafe because she didn't want to sign another deal.
Okay.
So the label was created, specifically to release the album, which was recorded in her kitchen and with session musicians in her house. And it very much sounds that way. But it was an interesting sidestep from someone who'd gone from R&B, like, it was like, yeah, okay, that's who she wants to be. But it's very interesting. And then For Once in My Life was her, when her reality show came out, was she was trying to, you know, make music happen again, which I didn't mind. It was more dancey, but yeah. My least favorite song, now we're going back to it, is Lullaby.
Oh yeah, Lullaby.
I'm sorry, I hate songs about people's kids. Like, shut up, no one cares. Like, I know you love your children and that's great, but I don't have to hear about it. I'm the Grinch that stole Christmas, but I was like, oh, no, go away. I don't need to hear that.
you know what? I picked Word Up.
Oh, okay.
By Melanie G.
Jimmy.
And it didn't do well in the charts either. It was like number 16, which was kind of bad for any Spice Girl up to that point. It was just kind of like, that's one of those songs that really doesn't need to be covered again. You know, it's been covered a lot. And it wasn't a very good song to begin with from Cameo. The only version of that song that I like is it's by a group called Gunn. And it came out in 94, and it was actually the basis for the beginning of Pamela Anderson's Barbed Wire movie.
Stepping right back in time there.
So we're gonna take a little break, and we're gonna come back, and who are we gonna talk about next? Is it gonna be Baby? Is it gonna be Sporty? Is it gonna be Ginger? Well, I guess you're gonna have to like come back to see who we talk about next here on Is This Your Playlist.
Hey, this is Steve, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Hey, listeners, you're here with me and my friend Steve from Australia. Hello, Steve, again.
G'day again.
And we are diving into Spice Girls solo song. And we just talked about Victoria Beckham and Mel B. And now we're going to talk about the baby of the group, Emma Bunton. So what's your take on Emma's solo stuff, Steve?
Well, I've got a very unique feeling on Emma because she came down here. She was, the first solo Spice Girl to really put some effort in and come to Australia and perform. She did a pop music festival here. There are only two of them. Like, it was only two consecutive years, called Rumba. And it was the first, it was like just after she had released her solo stuff. So I distinctly remember her crying on stage because everyone knew the words to her song. So when she sang What Took You So Long and people were singing back to us, she like literally had to stop and she's like, oh my God, I can't believe that you all know the words to this. So Emma, because I think that's just because of who Emma is. She's endeared herself with her baby spiceness to me. So yeah, that was a cute memory of Emma. I did love the Tin Tin Out song, What I Am. I thought that was a very interesting first step into solohood for her. It kind of abandoned the cuteness factor and just went for a little more, I wouldn't say rock, but like a grungier kind of thing than she was used to.
Yeah, and you know what, that song, once again, it wasn't like one of my favorites, but I just remember the chart battle in the UK with between her and Jerry's Lift Me Up, which I kind of think that Emma should have won that because Lift Me Up, I guess we'll talk about Jerry when we get to Jerry, but Lift Me Up was not one of
my favorites. Talk about Jerry, don't you worry.
We're saving our favorites. Emma did come to America. She came to LA and she did a couple of club shows during the Freemi era. So I believe she came like 2005 and she was really, really sweet. And I was going to get a picture with her. And I think people were just, they just like were around her too much. And I just kind of like, was like, ah, it was great to see her. She sounded great. And like for me, I think the Freemi album, that those singles were probably my favorites. My favorite Emma song solo is I'll Be There. And I just think that it's my favorite because it's just very uplifting and just, she sounds great, you know? And the video is really cool. I love the like black and white video and it's shot in Paris and she always looks good. And she always looks amazing. Got to number 7 in the UK. And so I think it was just, you know, it was the third single after Freemi and Maybe, which was great, what she did live.
What a mud star.
And even Cricket Sing for Anna Maria, it's a dodgy title, but the song was cute. It was cute. It was cute song, you know? I just think, and she's definitely, I feel like she's had the highest profile as far as doing stuff now, you know, with, she was hosting a reality show in America, like a, I think it was to create a boy band or something.
Yeah, it was like some boy band show, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember that.
Weird. But, and she was on
Absolutely Fabulous. Baby Bunton.
It was really funny.
But like, so I think the thing I like about that is she, I think it was intended for her to do this one-off thing, but she's become this part of that show now where even in the movie, Emma's in there going, like, I think that was great. She bypassed the Spice Girl thing by being herself. And it's like, it's on film forever. It's not like Jerry's Sex in the City episode. Do you know what I mean? That it was like a one and done thing. She's literally part of that show now. So I thought that was cool about AbFab.
Cool. So what's your favorite Emma song?
Oh, Emma. Okay. It's going to have to either be... Oh, there's a couple. I really like that. I don't know what it is about that first era. I think it's because that's when I saw her live. So I kind of gravitate to a girl like me. So it's either... All right. I like... What took you so long? Take My Breath Away, and something about her cover of Sunshine on a Rainy Day makes me go, oh.
That was a good period for her, wasn't it?
She sang all those three songs live, and I was like, oh, Emma, stop it. Why are you so cute? But she's had some greats. Like, maybe is like that was such a... That Free Me and Life in Mono was such an interesting trip to take, to go that retro, like, 60s, 70s sound. I love Baby. I love Freebie. I like her cover of Downtown. Like, there's not a lot of Emma stuff that I don't like.
Yeah. Steve liked that because Steve loved Petula Clark's version of Downtown. So when I played Emma's, he was like, oh, I love that song. And I was like, I know you do. That's why I played it. didn't she do, she did a Lime song, like a cover. Baby, I can't remember the title.
Baby, Please Don't Stop, the new one.
Hold on.
That's an original song.
It is?
Is it?
I thought that was a cover of a Lime song.
I can't remember.
Baby, We're Gonna Love Tonight or something like that.
I have no idea.
While I'm looking that up, I mean, here's the thing. If I had to choose, like, my least favorite of her singles, I mean, it would probably be What I Am. Just because, I mean, for me, I kind of thought it was kind of safe to do a cover, you know? And I love the original. And she sounded great. Like you said, it was very different for her to do that. We're Not Gonna Sleep Tonight.
That was very poppy. We're Not Gonna Sleep Tonight.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'm wrong. I thought that was a Lime cover. Sorry about that. My bad. I don't know everything. She seems to be like the fabric that keeps them together. I can see her kind of being like, not in the middle, but like sort of like, okay, girls, let's do this. Okay, don't fight about it. I love doing the movie. My favorite line of hers in the movies is when their manager has them all together after the boat flipped over, and their manager has them in the room, and Jerry goes, hold on a second. Jerry goes, we were just having fun. And Emma goes, yeah, fun, like, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, dear, Emma.
That was my favorite part of hers. So. So we're gonna like take another little break, and we're gonna talk about the big hitters. We're gonna talk about my favorite and Steve's favorite when we come back on Is This Your Playlist? Welcome back to Is This Your Playlist? Tonight, Steve is here from Australia, and we are going through the solo Spice songs of the Spice Girls, and we just talked about Emma Bunton, her amazing career, and now we're going to talk about our two favorites. We're going to start with my favorite. She is the sporty one, and she is amazing, and she goes by the name of Melanie C. And I just love her. And Steve and I were talking earlier, and she's just amazing. I truly feel like she has the best voice of the five of them. And when I tell people that she's had multiple solo albums, they're amazed by that. I'm just like, she's had hits, and she's big in Germany. Not that that takes much doing, but she is big in Germany. And her albums have been very consistent. Like, she just, she doesn't really do too much, like, Spice Girl stuff. She does a lot of rock stuff, I feel, and rock-influenced things. You know, you say her name, and, you know, of course, the one song that comes up the most is I Turn to You, the Hex Hector remix, because that's the one everyone seems to know. But if I was going to pick my favorite single of hers, I would have to do Northern Star. Because I saw her in New York in 1999, and I think the album had just come out, and that's when she had cut her hair really short. It was right before the Christmas in Spice World tour. So she had cut her hair short. We saw her in it was a little club in New York, and she did like six songs, and she did a couple, like a Spice Girl medley thing, but she was amazing. But she was really like going for the rock chick thing, and I just think that her voice is just so amazing. You know, she's just amazing. The only kind of like no single for me is like she did a version of I Want Candy that was released in Germany, and it was kind of like a useless single. It's like, really? I Want Candy? You know? But like on their Goodbye single, they do a cover of the Waitress's Christmas Wrapping, and she sings the whole thing except for Emma comes in and sings a couple lines in the middle. But it was like Spice Girls Christmas Wrapping or Kylie's Christmas Wrapping. And even though I love Kylie, Spice Girls won it by that much, because I don't know. It's just, I didn't like that song in the beginning. I didn't like the So the Spice Girls actually made me like it. And I was doing my research. I was always wondering why Mel B and Victoria were not on that song. And I guess it's when they were pregnant, so they weren't in the studio. And, you know, Mel C and Emma did a cover of I Know Him So Well, and they just sounded great together. You didn't like it?
I never needed it, never wanted it. This is of all the songs in the world. I mean, come on.
But she, you know, Mel C was doing the Stages album, so you know.
Yeah, she lost me for a while there. I was all about it. I like when Northern Star came out. I was like, holy shit balls! When she released Going Down, I was like, oh wow, she's not playing either. Like with the fire that Mel B came out for R&B, like she was like, this was definitely a fuck the Spice Girls moment. And I think that that's very interesting. Like that, her ambivalence to be a Spice Girl wavers throughout her career. She's like, she's all in, but when she's out, she's out. Like, so much so that she's like bad mouthing other band members' singles and all that kind of stuff. And like, when she like, and a lot of that is obviously to do with what she went through at the time of, like, she's documented that she did suffer a lot of mental illness and stuff like that during the Spice Girls. So look, no one can ever know what it's like to just kind of have your life explode for essentially four years and then be free into the wild and be expected to, you know, find yourself a career. But yeah, going down, I was just like, who is this woman? Like, she went crazy. And I love Reason, the second album. I know a lot of people don't. I know she doesn't. She's not particularly fond of it. But she kind of just lost me in the middle there. When was it? Let me have a look. It was this time, that album. I was like, oh, nah, I think I'm out. Yeah. It was just, yeah, this time. And then I was kind of back for the sea, and then she did Stages. I was like, ugh, really? Why are you doing a musical theatre album? And then I was like, oh, okay. She was doing musical theatre at the time. I get it. But her latest album is amazing. Yeah. Melanie C, the self-titled one. I think she's really found a niche there with that kind of tongue-in-cheek Spice Girls referencing stuff. And dance music mixed with a different sound, like all the stuff she's doing with Sync the Pink. Like, it's a weird flex, but it works for her. Like, I've actually re-engaged with her again now, going, oh, okay, cool. Like, because in the middle there, I was like, ugh, it's all the same, like, pop rock style stuff. But yeah, I've re-engaged. But yeah, so first album is definitely like the standout. Do you know what my favorite Mel C song is? And this is going to be a bit controversial. Only because it was on so often here in Australia. Baby When You're Gone with Bryan Adams. That song was a monster. It was on the radio so often. And I like every time, like, that song makes me feel good. I don't know what it is about it. It's not meant to make you feel good, but I think it's just like a mental thing. I'm like, oh, I remember being like, this was a good time. It was like 98, 99. Like, yeah, these are good times.
Well, that was the second. I think that she was the second one to kind of light a cube right after Mel B did I Want You Back, that Bryan Adams cover. That was a great cover. I mean, that Bryan Adams collaboration, excuse me.
Duet. It's funny that the duets have done them really, really well. Like, Victoria Dane Bowers kind of separated her from the pack. Same with Mel B and Missy. Same with old Mel C. But I've got to say, the song that I just cannot stand is If That Were Me. I can't. Every time. I can't live without my phone, but you don't even have a home. Who greenlit those lyrics that went, yes, you are so out of touch. You are so out of touch. Let's do it. Like, strike that from that album and her discography. Finish that first album when I turn to you. Like, just don't do it. I want to go back in time and go, Mel, no. Don't do it.
I was actually surprised, and this is another one that it grew on me. It took years to grow on me, but, like, you know, Never Be the Same Again. I did not like it when it came out, and just listening to it in recent years, I like it. I see the merit of it. It's probably, I feel it's her third, it's the third best cover after Bryan Adams. Why do I keep saying cover? Duet. After Bryan Adams, and then I loved her duet with Matt Cardle, Loving You. I thought that was a great cover. Collaboration, what is wrong with me? I'm just thinking about covers now. I love that. And I loved, I just think that she's very versatile, and she's my favorite, and it sucks that she had to, like, be 40. She didn't sign up for that, but, you know, and I'm sure the pressure to be skinny was not easy, but I just remember when they did Holler and they did it at the European Music Awards and she had like gained weight and it's like, ooh, Mel, she is big. I mean, bigger than
she's for a been. Pop star, for a pop star. Yes. Like,
for what her image was, but that was
obviously like she was done at that time. You could just tell, like, she was done. Like, she'd had that solo, had the taste of the solo stuff, and she was like, "Well, this is where it is." And she does, for me, get the credit for, you know, she's the one that's kept doing music nonstop. You know, she started out wanting to be a singer, and she's still a singer. You know, she's not a fashion designer. She doesn't bake cakes or write books. She's not a TV presenter. She's done some of that stuff, but she's singing, she's releasing music, and she's always going to get credit for that. I think that having the chip on her shoulder about being Sporty Spice was a little bit more self-inflicted than I think she wanted, especially when she kept bringing it up in the years, but like years after. It's like, all right, we've been a solo artist for 7 years now. Stop bringing up Spice Girls. It's going to happen. You just don't talk about it.
You know what? It was interesting, though, because when they tried to get back together this last time, Emma, Jerry, and Mel B were all for it. And Victoria was out completely.
Spice Girls jammed, yes.
And Mel C was out. Well, she was in at first, but then she was out because I remember reading an article about it, and she just came out, you know, the typical politically correct thing. She was like, oh, well, you know, I'm just wanting to work on my solo album, blah, blah, blah. And I just remember thinking to myself, why don't you just say you got in a fight with those girls? Because, oh, I don't want to do it unless it's all five of us. Well, you did it in 98 when it was just the four of you. So I was like, why didn't you just say you got in a fight with those girls? That's what it was, you know, but then like...
I think the major sticking point there, and it's the major sticking point net that's still happening today, is that half of the band want to do new material and there's people that don't. Because like Steps, they're scared of ruining their legacy with new music.
Yeah.
And regardless, I think with the Spice Girls, regardless of the quality, if a five-piece Spice Girls song came out, it'd be a hit. Regardless of quality.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree. We talked about my girl, so now we're going to talk about Steve's girl. Yes, this says he's making these little hand motions. So I guess he's excited about it. And who is she again?
Geraldine Estelle Halliwell Knee Horner, Ginger Spice. So you might know her, or Jerry. old Jerry, literally. Well, we don't know how old Jerry is. That's the problem. It's part of the problem. We're not sure how old Jerry is. But that's cute. You don't need to know.
Because tell me your Jerry experience.
Jerry was always my favorite in the Spice Girls. I know that is really basic and very expected. But her album Schizophrenic has a special place in my heart because it came out in 1999 when I was doing my we were doing our HSC, so our final 2 years of school. That was one of my study albums, so while I was studying, that album would be on in the background, and I think it has to be, and this is what I said in my Facebook post, probably the best solo debut coming from a pop group I've ever seen, ever. Like, Look At Me was not so much a single as a statement of war. It's like, oh, you think you're the Spice Girls? Well, I'm Jerry Halliwell. And it that film clip, like that whole era, I was just like, yes, feed me everything you can. My dream is to have those posters. Like, my dream is like to have those posters framed. I don't have them, but I want those the look at me black and white posters framed. The album was so eclectic, but still pop. It was enough of the Spice Girls, but still Jerry. It was fun, but it was confessional, like really touching confessional moments in there as well. I think it helped that she followed it with a book and you got to like read all about it. And then Scream If You Want to Go Faster, the second album, came along with It's Raining Men, which, hello, blew her into a stratosphere that the others haven't had or will ever have.
That's my
a worldwide hit like that, regardless of what you think of the quality, shit, that song was big in America, it was big in Australia, it was big in the UK. I don't think the other girls have a song that can compare.
That's true, but, well, you know what, though? I think Mel C's I Turn to You might be
the only one that can get close, yeah, exactly. And that's why I associate them so much together. I think Mel C is the passionate musician of the group and the talent of the group. And I think Jerry was the heart and the creative soul of the group and the leader. And when she left, they were like, they were always like, well, we can dance more now because Jerry couldn't dance. Oh, we can dance. We can do this. We can do that. I'm like, yeah, but you also can't sell records anymore.
Well, the
magic was gone. Let's be honest. The magic was gone. There's varying reports about the third album and how much of the third album was recorded with Jerry before they went in the direction of Forever. But they were on borrowed time. Let's face it. The Spice Girls were never going to be a decade-long group that was bringing out album after album after album after album after album. That was evident when they started going solo so early. I think that they conquered the world in two albums. What else was left for them to do? It's like,
here's the thing. I love Jerry as well, and I was gutted when she was gone because I remember watching it on the TV, and it was on the news, and it was like the headline was like Spice Girl Goes AWOL. And they showed the video. It was obviously If You Can't Dance. And I looked to see who was not there. And it was like, oh, no, it's Jerry. And, you know, when she left, yeah, it was a big blow to them. But I saw them on that tour in America without her. And here's the thing. The only time that I thought about her was when somebody sang a part that was hers. And, I mean, If You Can't Dance, they still played the macho
Spanish part.
I love that. There's no way they could have redone that. But that was, I mean, you thought about her then. And like when Mel C sang The Rush Is On to Get Out of the Bacha from Who Do You Think You Are? That was Jerry's part. And I was like, oh, okay. And but you know what? Here's the thing. I think that they they bounced back. Goodbye was amazing. And for me, Holler was my favorite Spice Girl song of all. I just
loved I'm not saying that the material was bad. I feel like when she left mid-tour, they had a lot to prove that it was not over. You know what I mean? But when they were in it for that third album and they'd all had it, well, majority of them had a taste of doing it on their own and not having to compromise with three other people and a record label and da 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 da, that the fun aspect of it had been sucked out and it was a job. The Spice Girls became a job, I think, after Holler.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is sad because I really enjoy some of the songs off Forever as well. Like, I think they're great. They're great tracks. Are they Spice Girls tracks? That's an argument that you can have. Like, I was all for it. I'm like, I'm down for R&B thing. I can't imagine Jerry ever doing it, but, you know, whatever. That's why she left, obviously, because that's a direction that they, depending on the story you want to believe, that's the direction they wanted to push in. And she was like, well, no. I don't know. I tend to believe it's a mix of both. I think I kind of do believe her when she's like, she was sitting back going, well, we've done all this, we've conquered the world. The girls don't really need me anymore. Like, she was that driving force that kept going, all right, let's push, let's leave our manager, let's do this, let's do that. Like, she wrote majority of their songs with, like, you know what I mean? Like, they were successful artists. They didn't need Jerry pushing them in the ass and being annoying anymore for them to be successful.
You know what? I agree with you. Look at Me was, I remember hearing it the first time and then seeing the video. And just like that dance thing at the end was so amazing. But it was like, okay, we get it. Ginger Spice is dead. We get it. Bag It Up was amazing. My favorite line is,
love Bag It Up.
You're in control. Who's wearing the trousers now? You know what I'm saying? So I know that she was like,
treat him like a lady, then spit him out.
You know, and I think it was partly maybe a relationship song or also a Spice Girls like bye-bye song. But my favorite Jerry song came out in 2004. It was number 4 in the UK charts, and it was called Write It.
If you're spinning it, I'll be writing it.
I think her voice sounded really, really good in that one. And it was when I was doing my research, it said it was a single for the third album, but I remember it just being kind of like a one-off. And it was sort of like, it was Life as a Roller Coaster by Run and Teening and Sisters Are Doing It for Themselves, like if they had a baby. That's what Riot it is. And
a dirty baby.
You know, and I guess the video was too risque for Top of the Pot Saturday. I haven't seen it, but that's what I read in the research. And Simon Cowell very famously came out and said he hated it, hated the video, hated this. And she actually made him, like, retract it. She wrote him and said, you need to retract that, blah, blah, blah. And he did.
That's the thing with Jerry. When she back in the day, I feel like she's kind of lost that spark now. When she believed in something, she believed in it and made it happen. Like, she is not the most talented vocalist in the world, no. But she still has a huge career in one of the biggest girl groups of all time and a solo career. Like, she's a songwriter, she's a singer. Like, it happened, whether you like it or not, because of her determination for it to happen.
And I did like Mi Chica Latino. It took a minute, but you know, I like it now. It's like, yeah, Jerry, we get it. You're half Spanish. We get it.
What was her point of difference?
I just, you know, it for me, and this might sound controversial, it's Raining Men. It's just a useless cover from anybody. It's one of those songs that never has to be made again. And I get it, what it is, and I get what, you know, the audience that, you know, loves that song, but I'm just like, I'm so tired of It's Raining Men. And I thought when she did it, it was like, she was like super like fit / skinny. And I thought it was safe, you know? But it's her biggest hit, which is strange to me, but it worked.
Well, it's got that. It's Bridget Jones related though, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Right? Am I imagining that?
No, it is. It's on the. I think it's on the album.
It's part of the soundtrack for the second movie, right, or the first movie?
Yeah.
You weren't going to escape that anyway. I don't think you were going to ever escape that. Like, given it was, I think I see what you're saying, because it was a time that she was overexposed. Like, she'd had that huge debut solo era. She was getting to the point of oversaturation, and it just happened to be the point where she had her biggest worldwide hit as well, so you can't escape it.
Oh, and you know what? I just remembered something. I actually have the that album.
Symphonic?
I have that signed by her because she did a signing at Virgin Megastore.
Shut up.
Oh, But we were at the tail end of the line, and of course, like by the time we got there, they were literally like pushing us through. Like the first people in the line got like a photo with her.
Yeah.
She wasn't even behind the table. She was just like standing there, and she signed it real quick, and that was it. But it was great to see her. And yeah, she took a chance, and she, you know, she made it happen for herself. And you know, I'm glad that she came back. When I saw the Return of the Spice Girls tour, when they came out, I freaked the fuck out because it was all five of them, and that was on a list of never, ever, ever gonna happen, and it did. And they seemed very happy when they came to LA, because LA was one of the first. But I guess by the time they went to, I guess by the time they made it back to England, I guess Victoria and Mel B were like fighting. And that's why Australia and Asia didn't happen.
Extending the tour, yeah. Extending the tour for places that they'd already played was the mistake. They should have honored the original commitments first, instead of going, oh, we're making money in America and the UK. Let's just keep we'll sell dates there. And then obviously stuff was going to happen. So same, like, it's the same with the last tour. I think they love each other. They're a sisterhood, but too much time together is too much time together. And because they were supposed to come to Australia after the last tour as well, but Jerry wouldn't do it. So
the 2019 tour,
yeah.
Well, you know the story. Jerry didn't want to do those, and the only reason she did those is because she was contractually obligated, because Mel B opened her stupid big mouth on Piers Morgan and said that they had an affair. I'm like, Mel B, are you insane? It's like, you know, she's a flight risk.
Still got it done though, didn't she?
Like, why would you say that? I mean, I just don't get it. It's like, it's
probably a bit of a power move, I think.
Yeah, but it's like, she said if she wasn't contractually obligated to do those shows, she wouldn't have done them. Hmm. She was pissed off, but anyway.
I think you could do a whole show on the power dynamic between Jerry and Mel B, and that would be very interesting.
Always there. So, well, I guess that's it for us. I think maybe we should take a little break and come back and just do a quick honorable mentions. And I have a question for you.
Ooh. Honorable mentions.
So okay. Stick with us. We're going to come back for one more little session on the Solo Spice Girls episode of Is This Your Playlist? So stay tuned.
Hey, this is Brent from Probe 7, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
All right, we're back for the last time on this episode, and we're going to do an honorable mentions quick thing. And I want to ask you, I want to pose you this question, Steve, and, you know, I'm sure you'll have an answer to it. Favorite Spice Girl song, least favorite Spice Girl song? Oh, go.
Okay. I have a special place in my heart for Stop. I don't know why. I think it was like Stop in my mind was the last moment that Jerry was really present. And like, and my, oh, I know what the worst Spice Girls song is. I know what it is. It's off the greatest hit song, and it's Voodoo. That song is horrendous. Horrendous. It doesn't even make sense. I don't even know what they're saying. Horrendous. That should have been aborted like straight away.
Oh, that's funny.
So, when they heard the demo, they should have went, no. Just do that. Do headlines. That's fine. Nostalgia. Yay. But whatever that thing was deserved to be kicked to the curb. Oh.
So my favorite song is Holler. For sure, Holler. I just remember being in Modesto, California, and the video played on Much Music, and I didn't even know it was out yet. And I remember reading that they were working with Dark Child, and so I just remember saying to my best friends, I said, watch, it's going to say Dark Child, Spice Girls. And, you know, because that's how we always open it. And when the song came on and it said that, I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious. But I loved it. I just loved the period. I loved the way they sounded. I loved the video. It was just like, it was peak for me, post-Jerry.
It was grown-up Spice Girls.
My least favorite single was Viva Forever, because I was like, yeah. But I think my least favorite song, God, I don't know. I'm scanning the albums right now. I liked all the songs on the first two albums. I didn't like the version of If You Can't Dance on the album, but I loved it live. It was totally different live.
If You Can't Dance was a monster, and Generation Next, hello, best Pepsi song.
Move over,
Generation Next.
Forgot that. Pepsi commercial. Oh my God.
Love it.
Yeah.
Spice Girls live in Istanbul. Do it.
Let's go. All right. Well, that's it. I'm going to let Steve go because I work this morning and I'm starting to get like punchy, and he's probably going to continue his day because I believe it's 3 or 4.
It's 3 p.m. I'm probably going to go rest my poor voice for a while. It's survived.
But, once again, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and do this with me. You have Risha's blessing because I always make sure that I tell her. And I just had so much fun doing this, and we're going to probably have to do a Spice Girls one at some point. Now, you have a podcast, right?
I do. I do have a podcast. I'm part of a group podcast called Uncensored Radio. We do a live show every Thursday in the US, every Friday here in the where am I, Australia? Sorry, we've got US, UK, and Australian people that contribute to the show, so I've got to remember. We're like a current events pop culture podcast where we basically just get the news stories of the week and talk shit about people. So if you enjoy a bit of humor and a bit of tongue-in-cheekness, check out Uncensored Radio. We do other stuff. We have Real Talk Roundtable, where we discuss issues like sleep and single parenting and stuff like that. We've got celebrity interviews with people like Lisa Wilcox from Nightmare on Elm Street. We've interviewed back in the day, Rosie O'Donnell, stuff like that. The show was originally a radio show that has found its way to the podcasting world. So, if you want to, come and check us out at Uncensored Radio. I'd love to see you.
And I was actually invited to come and do it, and I picked you up on it. I just appreciate your presence in my life. And, you know, the ones that we do, it's kind of cool because I know Risha would not want to do these. So I'm glad that I have, like, an outlet to be my, like, super pop star thing. So I appreciate you.
Who to call?
We just chat, and as I'm looking at the time of the recording,
I know how to talk. I'm sorry.
And I do too, and I like that because we just chat, and the Down Under one is the next one up. It's actually edited, but I just have to do these old drop ins. But I kept it pretty much. I didn't cut anything out.
We talked for so long; it was ridiculous.
And I think, you know what, like you were talking about the first part and you were saying that it was doing weird stuff. When I listened to it, somehow I had done something, I didn't like drop something right, and I'm like,
oh, okay, I thought I was having a stroke or something.
So I had to go back in and redo it and publish it, and I'm like, how did I do, I mean, I just didn't understand how I did that, but anyway.
That's what happens.
Yeah, so and I just want you to know that I have been listening to Bardo like crazy.
Good boy. I'll have to send, when we upload that one, I'll send you the interview link for Katie Underwood, because she started out as an interview for my show, but now she is a regular contributor to Uncensored Radio. She's part of the Uncensored Radio family, which is mind-blowing because I was so obsessed with Bardo. We also have Katrina A. Johnson from Nickelodeon's All That as one of our regular hosts as well, which I used to watch like a crazy fiend back in the day. So my teenage self dies a little bit every day because I get to talk to these people. So it's really cool. But yeah, if you enjoy Bardo, the Katie Underwood interview, she spills so much tea. It's great.
Nice. Well, and the thing with Sophie, like my friend John sent me her, you know, sent me Inside Outside. And he's like, you probably like her. And I was like, okay. And I listened to it and I loved it. And then I
you messaged me.
So I sent a message to Steve, this Steve, and I said, Jim, Sophie Mook?
So Sophie Monk.
Yeah,
Sophie Monk. She who will not be named, we call her.
he's like, yeah, Susan Bardot. I was like, oh, okay. So,
no, I said she's the girl that broke up Bardo, and I will not be corrected.
I know, but I didn't want to say that. It's unpolitical.
I'll say it.
All right. So, listeners, thank you for sticking with us for this Solo and Spice Girls playlist. And I'm going to say goodnight to Steve. Goodnight, Steve.
I'm going to say, hi, see, yeah, hold tight.
But hip hop is harder.
We move on. The fox trap and Falcon the South. All right, we gotta stop.
Okay. All right.
Right now, thank you very much.
All right, good. Thank you and good night, and we will see you next time on Is This Your Playlist.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Is This Your Playlist. If you are tuning in for the first time and like what you've heard, please like and subscribe. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please join Kedrick and Rissa next time for more fun facts and witty banter. My name is Joey. Thank you, and good night.